Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, verse number 8. In fact, just let me read this entire message to the church of Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Would you pray with me, pray for me? Father, thank you one more time for allowing us to be in the Lord's house. Thank you for the good number we have. Thank you for the good spirit of fellowship and worship. Thank you for the wonderful word of God. Lord, I pray today that you'd let me be able to deliver the message as I need to deliver it. I want to just be able to bring a real challenge to us today to take advantage of what the Lord has given unto us. Please, dear God, revive our cold hearts. Let us be renewed in our spirits, in the things of God. Please help me. Let us not get sidetracked. May we be able to stay focused. May I bring what I need to bring, nothing more, nothing less, and I'll be grateful for it. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. There are so many things in this passage of the Word of God that could be discussed. And what a mighty book is the Word of God. But my thought today, and what I really want to try to focus upon, is this matter of an open door. An open door. Now, in this passage of the Word of God, we have an open door of service. There are some more doors that I'm going to deal with briefly as we continue through the message. I'm so glad that we have a God that is in control today, and he is very able to open doors for you and I. And you and I will be wise if we'll take advantage of the open doors that God gives unto us. In the passage today, we have an open door of service. I'm glad the Lord, in many spheres of life, He opens doors of service for folk. Now, interesting in this church, it's one of the few that the Lord, the angel, did not rebuke in some manner. Now, it was not that it was a perfect church, but Philadelphia was the church of brotherly love. In fact, the word Philadelphia, its real meaning is brotherly love. Now, it was probably called Philadelphia before Christianity had an impact upon it, and it was probably named that because of just the love among people in the community. You know, that's really a great thing when there's a local community and people love one another and people help one another, people do for one another. That is really a great thing. Praise God. I'm glad to be a part of this place, although I live in another this is a good place. Amen? Oh, you say, I don't like it. Well, I think they've been pretty good to feed you when your in-laws died. I think they've been pretty good to pray for you when you, hallelujah, I'm telling you, I think it's a pretty good place. Philadelphia, probably before Christianity, but my, what a great thing. When the gospel was preached, a church established, and the people of God really loved one another. You see, that's how you can overcome the rebukes of the Lord, is to have the brotherly love among you like you ought to have. You got me? Everybody okay? That's the way you can have a church without rebuke, if you have the proper kind of brotherly love. Now, it's interesting to me, the Lord said to them, you've got a little strength. Now, you know, we like great strength, and we like to think about churches and people and ministries being very powerful and very dynamic, they say. But you know what? Sometimes it's not every church that has all of that dynamics, so to speak, you know. But praise God for a little strength. And if you've got that little strength and allow the Lord to use you in the little strength you've got, then you can have a commendation from the Lord. So may the Lord help us. They had a little strength. Because they had used that strength, their Lord was going to open doors and give them opportunity for service. Now, when it said they had a little strength, I always figured, you know, it had to do with spiritual strength. But it, in reality, it probably didn't have to do with spiritual strength. It probably had to do with the fact they were smaller in number than these other churches were. They just membership fewer, you know. And maybe their knowledge, and it's not mentioned much about their knowledge, their gifts. Maybe they were not able to give and maybe perform like others could perform. They probably did not have a lot of great distinguished men among their fellowship, you know. I mean, I look across this congregation this morning, and about all I see is a lot of country boys. About a lot of all I see is just, you know, I'm not against wearing shirt and ties. They're very far and few between here this morning. Are you with me? What I'm trying to say today? I mean, man, the banker may not have been in town at Philly. May not have went to church. Nothing wrong with the banker. I wish we had one. Praise God. We'd do more for missions. Right? Amen. I mean, we'd do more in the world for the cause of Christ if we had a good banker. Are you still with me? Oh, don't go home, say the preacher. No, I'm just telling you, they were small. They had a little strength. They were not the, they're not the big church in town, so to speak, as you know, all of that glamour. Neighbor, I'm telling you, I'm not against the glamour, the advertisement, the glow. You've got to have a testimony. But I want to tell you, neighbor, the thing that's really important is standing for the Word of God and the gospel of Christ. And that's what they were doing. That's what they were doing. That's what they're committed for. Stand in. You've stood for the Word of God. You've kept my word. You've not denied my name. You stayed faithful to the name of Christ. The Lord said, I've opened a door, an open door, a door of opportunity. No man can shut it. Because you've used that little strength, we're going to give you opportunity. Give you opportunity. My, what a privilege, a door of opportunity. Somebody said, well, I don't have no opportunity. Yeah, you do. Everybody has an opportunity. I was thinking today, and I'm going to start with the small, I guess small may be the biggest. You know, sometimes in our judgment, the small things end up to really be the greatest things. You know, even that little girl, you know, she's just 17, and she's not out in the work world so much right now, but she's got some little children that she babysits on the weekend. Or she's got some boys and girls that she watches all the evening time. Do you not know it's an open door? Anytime that you've got 5 minutes with a child, it's an open door. The Lord said, I set before you an open door. Just a child for 5 minutes. What about grandma? Oh, no, she don't feel like going to town no more. And she can't get out. But, oh, those children and those neighbor's children, they stop by. She's got an open door. Neighbor, the Lord said, because you've been faithful to my name and my word, I'm going to give you an open door. I think about the Sunday school department. And I'm just trying to be a challenge today. And I'm not bad. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm probably in as good a humor as I've been in 6 months. I'm not real sure about that. But I'm just telling you, I mean, it's amazing what some of them steroids will do to you. Amen. But I'm just here to tell you today, I'm not trying to pick on nobody. But I'm going to tell you, Sunday school teachers, oh, yeah, these grandmas and grandpas are important. They need a little coaxing along, a little petting along, and a little sugar along. I understand all of that. But I'm going to tell you, neighbor, these little boys and girls, their lives are so important. And if you don't have but two, you put your heart into those two little ones just like you had a class full sitting there. I'm very convinced of this. Very convinced. Oh, an open door. An open door. I think about your job life. There's some work at home. Some's retiring. He's proud of that. Brother James, I'm proud for you. You've given a good life and a good service to Roane County. Amen. I'm grateful for you. But could I say today, oh, friend, I lost my train of thought, but there's a great need today. There's a great need. What about down on the job site? Man, that's the greatest mission field that you'll ever have. It's right there on the job site. And oh, dear Lord, my life is challenged. My heart today's broken of how I failed to reach folk at the job site. There is an open door to tell folk about the Lord Jesus wherever you're at. I've shared this story not too long ago. Well, George was manager at the time. Hard to find young man by the name of Corey Tippins. And one day business was slow, and Corey and a little boy by the name of Jimmy worked in a tire shop. Corey came over to me one evening, and he said, Brother Wayne, says Jimmy says he's never been saved, and he'd like to be saved. In a matter of 5 minutes' time, I stepped over into that tire shop, talked with little Jimmy, and led Jimmy to Christ. I'm telling you, neighbor, there's an open door. God gives us those open doors. God called me in 1985 to leave my home, to leave my business, and load up a couple of loads of stuff and move 100 miles away. And I had no clue what God was trying to do with my life, and I could not find work. And one Monday morning, I think it was a Monday morning, I got a call, can you come to work? And I set my foot inside of a pallet mill, working with a bunch of drunks, a bunch of hoodlums, and I mean just poor old country boys that needed God. And lo and behold, in a revival meeting one night, every employee in that place was sitting to hear me preach, except about two or three of them. God opened doors. Don't fail to see when the Lord opens a door for you. I open it, no man can shut it. The open door service. My, oh, take advantage of those open doors. I've said more than I meant to say on that point, but I've still got another point or two on that. I want you to look in 1 Corinthians 16:9. 1 Corinthians 16:9. I'm about to make a statement, and I want you to hear it. Some of you folk think that if I serve God and I'm a faithful Christian, and I'm this loving kind of guy like I'm supposed to be, that everybody's going to appreciate me and everybody's going to love you. Baloney. Hogwash. It don't happen that way. And if you think you're going to find it easy trying to serve Christ, forget it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 9, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me." What does the next line say? "Many adversaries." And that's what you're going to find. That's what you're going to find. That's what you're going to run into. That's what I'm going to deal with. And that's what you're going to deal with when you make up your mind. The Lord's opened the door for me to witness. The Lord's opened the door for me to serve Him. The Lord's opened the door for me to win souls to Christ. You're going to find somebody's going to be against you. I promise you, they're going to be. There'll be somebody against you. That's right. Many adversaries. But can I say today, unbelief sees obstacles. Faith sees opportunities. Let me give you this and I'll move along. There's causes that we miss these open doors and these opportunities. You know, one of the first things is just simple fear. If you're gonna step through the doors of opportunity that God gives you, you're going to have to get to where you don't really care what people think about you and what people's going to say about you and what people's going to do to you. I'm just going to serve God and let Him take care of the consequences. That's it. Now, I believe this. I believe that we are accountable unto people. If I work for a boss, I'm accountable to that boss. Amen. I'm full agreement of that. And we're accountable to where we've got accountability. But I'm going to tell you, we're accountable unto God before we're accountable unto anybody else. Amen, that's right. That's right. Many adversaries. Fear, just, you know, man, I don't know what they're going to think. Who cares? What does it really matter? I don't care what they're going to say. What does it really matter? Oh, they'll hurt my name. Really? Really? There's fear. Unbelief. Well, I really don't. You know, there's been people been trying to figure out all their life, if I'm supposed to do this, if I'm supposed to do that, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I'm telling you, you folk need to find out what your calling is. You need to find your open door. You need to find your open door. A great door and effectual is open unto me. There's many adversaries. There's fear. There's unbelief. There's procrastination. Guilty probably as much as anybody in this building. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm going to get around into doing that. Yeah. And you know what you do? You live a week, in a month, 6 months. Oh, well. I never did do that. I mean, that's it. Just simple procrastination, putting off. The open door's open now. You better, you know, I thought about this and I was reading, I was studying. There's a lot of difference in an open door and a shut door. I mean, you walk up to an individual's home and that door's open. To me, it says something. It may not say come in, but it does say my door's open. I might be expecting you. The open door. I'm telling you, there's a lot of difference in an open door and a door that's shut. Many times I believe the Lord shuts the door of opportunity when people fail to step through. You know, hey, I can't step through doors in my ministry now that was opened unto me 40 years ago. Are you listening? Man, the door of opportunity, delay, procrastination. Let me move on. I feel like I preached my message about it, but let me give you 2 points, I'm done. There's a door into the sheepfold, John chapter 10. The sheepfold, and I'm not going to read it, but the sheepfold was an enclosure. usually made out of rock, stacked stone. And really, the door was simply an opening. Not a door on hinges, but simply an opening. And really what happened is in this sheepfold, different shepherds would bring their sheep and put them in that fold for protection of the night. And you know what? A shepherd would literally lay down over the entrance to that sheepfold. My, I'm glad we got somebody taking care, aren't you? That's right. And when he said all that tried to climb up some other way, he's not talking about people trying to get into the sheepfold to be saved, but he's talking about false shepherds trying to get into the sheepfold and steal sheep. Exactly what he's talking about. And he said, you know, he said, I am the door. And also he said, I'm the good shepherd. He's not only the door, but he's the good shepherd that gets us through the door. I mean, he's everything we need. Amen. Praise God. Right? But he said, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Praise God. That's the way you get saved, through the door. And the door ain't the Baptist church. And the door ain't the Catholic church. And the door ain't any church. But the door is the Lord Jesus. He said, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in. I'm telling you, you're going to heaven, you don't have to go through Jesus. Jesus. Let me give you something else. I've missed one, but that's all right anyway. I've done a little studying on what I'm about to say. And whether it's interesting to you or not, I do not know. But I want you to look in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Revelation 3:20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, I'm aware that this is given a lot of times as an invitation to a sinner to open the door of her heart and let Christ come in. But we're dealing with messages to seven different churches in Asia Minor. And here's the message from the angel to the angel of the church at Ephesus. He said, to Laodicea, which was a church where the Lord is standing on the outside of the door. You with me? Right? Here's the church. The Lord's on the outside. And he said, if any man, you know, the church can be cold, but if you want life, you can have life. The church can be worldly, but if you want to fellowship with God, you can fellowship with God. They ain't never heard that before. You heard it this morning. He said, this church, the door's shut. I'm knocking on the door. If any man open that door, I'll come into him, sup with him, he with me. Now, we're in a mixed up society. Don't take this wrong. I'm playing, all right? But some of you better keep your smartphones handy so you'll know when to eat. Right. Do you know what the word sup means? Do you know what the word sup means? It means to eat the evening meal. That's what the dictionary said. I think it's right. I always accepted about everything else it said. Dinner at 6 o'clock. Dinner at 6. You say it don't amount to nothing. I know it don't. I'm trying to get you to get the message, what I'm talking about. Sup. It's what we get our word supper from. Amen. That's right. And you'll find this. I've never studied it out really. But in Luke 17, verse 8, there's this fella that's got a servant feeding cows in the field. And his servant gets home in the evening And he says to him, make ready, wherewith I may sup. Then after I've eaten, well, you can have your share. Make ready that I may sup, that I may take the evening meal. Right? Look, Luke 22, verse 20. Luke 22, verse 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup after supper, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Look in 1 Corinthians 11, 25. And I've been wrong. You've been wrong too, probably at times. But I always thought when Jesus took the cup and supped, I thought he took the cup and sipped, but it ain't sip, it's sup. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 25. It says, after the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped literally means after the Passover meal. When he had finished, the Passover meal is done, he took the cup. That makes sense to you? Makes a whole lot of sense to me. Now, what's the message? Jesus said, I stand at the door of the church and I knock. If any man will open unto me, I will come into him and I'll sup with him. That speaks of fellowship. That speaks of communion. Could I say today, don't misunderstand me. Don't leave this building and say that I said something I did not say. I love the decoration. It's not heathenism to me. It's a part of the season. I know who Jesus is. This is our tradition of Christmas. I find no harm. I don't bow to it. I don't worship it. I fully understand this is just a piece of decoration. I love the decorations. I love the lightings. I'm not against that. I understand that. I know the meaning to us of that. But in this Christmas season, could we not take the time to allow the Lord to just come in and fill our church and fill our lives with the wonderful presence of Jesus and get so excited about he has come and he's my good shepherd and he's given his life for me as a sheep. And now I can look forward to Revelation 4:1. And John said, I heard a voice in heaven saying, come up hither. Hallelujah. That's the door that I long to see open. That's the door that I one day will walk through. Hallelujah. For the door of glory that's been opened for the chief shepherd that shall appear one day and take all of his sheep to the great pastor. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's enough to make a Baptist shout. Amen. What about it today? I challenge you. No, we get so busy. And I'm not against gifts. I'm not against, hey, praise God, I'm not against eating ham and turkey. You know that. But could I say today, in reality, is there not something better than what we're experiencing? Is there not something better than all the perplexity and all the rat race and all the confusion? Is there not something better? Oh, if we could get back to where we love Jesus and sensed his presence and desire the wonderful presence. Him, to, neighbor, I'm preaching to people today that know what it is to fellowship with Christ, to sup with the Lord, to enjoy the good things of God with Jesus. Hallelujah. When you invite him in today, let's bow our heads. I'm done. Amen. I wonder, there's somebody God's speaking to. There's some individual, maybe many, the Lord's talking to. Man, oh, you know what it is to enjoy the presence of God. You know what it is to sup with the Lord. Oh, you know what it is to enjoy the good things, the presence, the joy of the Lord in your heart. Would you open the door? Oh, friend, behold, I stand and knock. He's wanting to be a part of our church. In fact, he don't want to be a part. He is Lord. He wants to be the center of attention. He deserves to be the one that's worshiped. Oh, friend. And in all your Christmas giving, don't forget the one that has the birthday. In all your Christmas giving, don't forget the one whose birthday we celebrate. Somebody said, well, how do you know he's born? We don't know he was. I wouldn't know what day I was born on unless I just believed what somebody told me. I know I'm born. I know I'm alive. I know Jesus came. I know he's alive. I worship him. I adore him. He's my Savior. I enjoy supping with the Lord. I wonder today, some of you folk, oh, how you need the Lord in your life. Mixed up, perplexed. Oh, no, we're not going to enjoy peace in this world until the Prince of Peace sits upon the throne of David. But I want to tell you what you can have. You can have peace in your heart today. You can have peace in your soul. I wonder if Jesus called you out into eternity before you opened your Christmas presents in 2019. How is it with your soul? Have you came through the door to get to salvation? I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you about your background. I'm talking about, have you really came to Christ and through Christ to be saved? I wonder this morning, is there a Christian in this building? Say, preacher, I used to walk close to God. Man, the Lord meant so much to me. I'd pray and sense the sweet presence of the Lord. Well, I couldn't hardly sit down and eat a bite of food without just being overwhelmed how God good to me. Preacher, I fellowship and walk with God in a close way. Lord, I've got caught up in something that's took my heart away. Would you pray for me? Anybody want to raise your hand? Let me pray for you today. Preacher, God bless you. Anybody else? I've got caught up in things, preacher. Took my good joy away. God bless you. Preacher, I just get caught up. Oh, friend, focus today. Focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Would you let him in? He wants to be a part of our church. And I say it wrong every time I say it, but he wants to be the Lord. He wants to be the one that has the preeminence. Anybody else need prayer today? God bless you and you. Oh, yes, folk. Thank you so much. Oh, you say I'm not. Oh, yeah, you are important. You're one of his sheep. You're one of his sheep. The wolf's been after you. The one that wants to kill and to destroy, but he wants the Lord, the good shepherd, gives his life for the sheep. I wish you'd just come today. Say, dear Lord, I want a fellowship with you. Dear Lord, I want you more than I want anything else. I want you more than anything else. I want your joy. I want your reality in my life more than I want anything else. Father, bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Singing one verse, you need to come for prayer. Prayer, come on first verse, would you? Who is that knocking
asking, pleading, wanting to make me whole.
All right, thank you for coming. Rick and Kim has acknowledged to me that they want to join our church this morning. Rick, you come. Kim, I guess most of you know this. Kim is my niece. She is my oldest sister's daughter. And me and Kim has been pretty tight through the days. Kim, I'm about 12 years older than Kim. And when I was about 16, and she was a little bitty thing, and we spent a lot of time at my mother's, her grandmother's, and I'd just aggravate the devil out of her. I mean, Mom be cooking blackberry pie, and I'd say, you ain't going to get none. We ain't going to let you have none. I mean, she, you know, but her and Rick want to join our church. I married Rick and Kim somewhere under 100 years ago. 30 years ago. But anyway, Rick, you got a word of praise?
Been married 30 years, been saved 29. Just miss preaching. You don't get a lot of preaching like Uncle Wayne preaches anymore.
Amen. Amen, Rick. Do you have anything on?
You have seasons.
Yeah.
My kids are grown in college. And I feel like this season of my life, I need to be with my family.
Yeah.
I have a lot of family here that are dear to my heart that I don't see often.
Amen, Kim.
And so I'm really excited to be here.
Amen, Kim.
Amen.
All right, Rick is joining from Big Emery. You're joining from Rankin, Pine Orchard. All right. All right. Got that, Brother Tweet? We'll help you if you didn't. Need a motion? Brother James Buller, Keith Russell, second. All in favor, raise your right hand. All right, come around and shake hands. Our men's going to the back door with two plates. Today is building offering you give to our building fund, and the Lord bless you for it. All right, shake hands with these. Welcome them. Remember to be here tonight. May the Lord bless you.